You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Zionism is a political ideology. So are socialism, libertarianism, capitalism, anarchism. But as distinct from these other political ideologies, critical discussion of Zionism is inhibited, if not entirely repressed, in our political culture. Yet without an open discussion of Zionism, our capacity to understand and evaluate its impact on daily events in the Middle East is enormously handicapped. To help overcome this handicap, Dr. Joel Covell has just published a new book titled Overcoming Zionism. He writes with literary elegance, intellectual rigor, and draws upon the varied training and skills he has in the social sciences and psychoanalysis. Currently, Dr. Covell is Distinguished Professor of Social Studies at Bard College in New York. He initially trained as a medical doctor and psychoanalyst. Dr. Covell will be in Vancouver this Thursday to speak on Zionism and its discontents, and today we reached him in Boston. Good afternoon to you, Joel, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Greetings. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
You begin your book with an intimate sketch of your upbringing as a Jew in the United States. Why is it important for readers to know this?
Well, all ideologies, of course, are personally grounded, but nothing to the degree that Zionism is. And I think it would be necessary for anybody who purports to speak on this to situate him or herself so that the reader, the listener, can understand where this person is coming from. In my case, I came from a very, thoroughly Jewish diasporic background in the center of the world diaspora, Brooklyn, New York, and, in fact, a lot of the people I grew up with became eventually settlers in Israel, and even when I was a professor of psychiatry at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, one of my students was Baruch Goldstein, as a matter of fact, who was the most notorious mass murderer of Muslims in Hebron in 1994. So, where one is situated is essential, and in my case, I felt it was, obligatory to give a brief report. I, only emphasized a few points, but that I came from a very strongly, articulated Jewish background, but I began to feel distant from it as a youngster, and certain experiences which I relate in the book that made me, I think, critical from an early time, so I feel both part of it, but also able to differentiate myself from it. And that's the stance in which I write my book.
Your book on Zionism begins with an exploration of Old Testament religious Judaism, and you draw some parallels and continuities between the religion and contemporary Zionism. What are some of those parallels?
Well, one case is not even a matter of parallel. It's a very fundamental point, which is that Zionism is, of course, the ideology that insists that the destiny of the Jewish people is to have the historical state, a state for the Jews in historical Palestine, where the Jewish kingdom was, the Israeli kingdom was in the early Christian era and some centuries before. The fact of the matter is that Zionism, which is an effort to create a nationalism, didn't build on any genuine nationalistic assumptions, because the Jewish people had been scattered all over the world, and the only thing in common that they had was this book, the ancient texts, which are very, very powerful, but also, of course, very, very ambivalent in many ways, and people should familiarize themselves with that. So, in this sense, Zionism kind of uses some of those elements that held together the Jewish people when they were just a people scattered throughout the world to form, actually, however, a Jewish state. So there was a profoundly contradictory element there. You can read in the early books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, this notion that the Israelites, this is now back 1,500 years before the Common Era, regarded themselves as, quote, a people apart. And that's a very important development and has many, many ramifications, but one of the ramifications is you can see this same notion occurring throughout history of modern Israel. I actually detail some of the instances in my book, including some of, you know, the language of some of the settlers who infest the occupied territories in a highly illegal and destructive way. And this notion of being a people apart also extends to a feeling characteristic of Zionism, which is that the Jewish people are so exceptional, that they've suffered so much, that they have the right to do this thing, namely to create their own national state by expropriating other people, and it's all right to do it because there's a separate set of moral principles that applies to them. I think there is not a separate set of moral principles. It's very important to, you know, dissect that and deconstruct it. And one way you do so is to show that this is, in fact, a remnant, a very archaic tribal feeling which gets relived in the history of Zionism.
In later chapters of the book, you make a statement, Zionism is a bad idea. It's a bold statement. It's not the kind of usual phrasing in intellectual discourse, but why do you say Zionism is a bad idea?
Well, I think it's a very bad idea, and I think I believe in speaking plainly. Notice it's, you know, not inherently an evil idea. It's just a wrong-headed idea, and to carry it out leads to evil consequences. It's very important to put it at that level because one must overcome that idea to deal adequately with the reality of Israel and Palestine. And the idea is bad for a couple of reasons, the most fundamental of which is the notion that it's permissible to create an ethnic state in the middle of the modern world, which is... And to call it democratic, I mean, that's not only a bad idea, but it's a logical impossibility. You cannot have an ethnically grounded state that's truly democratic. You can have some of the formal mechanisms of democracy, you know, like the ballot and so on. In fact, Israel is not a democratic society, except in some of its externals. It doesn't have a constitution, for example, and that's all a product of this so-called bad idea that you can do an ethnic state and call it a democracy. What that means in practice is that ethnic state will have to engage in ethnic cleansing of the indigenous inhabitants, which entails it in a never-ending series of human rights violations and crimes, so that the high ethical principles with which the Jewish people approach the Zionist project become betrayed at their very foundation. Another element of the badness of the idea is the fact that you really can't get away with it. I think they model themselves on some of the other settler colonial societies, such as Canada and the United States, where an advancing Anglo and European, you know, social formation displaced ethnic, I mean, rather indigenous peoples, and sometimes exterminated them, sometimes put them on reservations and so on, but mostly put them out of sight. Well, you can't put the Palestinians out of sight because your ethnic state, the Jewish state of Israel, is founded right in the heart of the Middle East, right in the center of the Islamic peoples. There's hundreds of millions of peoples around it. It's a fulcrum and a flashpoint of modern history. Everybody's looking on, and so they're caught up in a tremendous series of contradictions that have to displace the indigenous peoples, but they have to pretend to do it or not to be doing it at the same time, or to do it very legally, administratively, and so on and so forth. So there's a tremendous amount of deception built in, this deception which basically never succeeds, and so just leads to endless crisis. That's just a bit of a bad idea, but it's pretty bad in my view.
It's commonly claimed that Israel saved Jews from the complete extermination by the Nazis and is the guarantor against the recurrence of such abhorrent genocidal attacks on Jews in the future. But you challenge these propositions.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, in part, I think if you follow the work of Lenny Brenner, whose book Zionism in the Age of Dictators and others lays this out very clearly, it shows that of the Jews who did have to contend with Nazism in Europe in the 30s and 40s of the last century, actually the Zionists performed very poorly. They didn't really save the Jews very well. In fact, they often were complicit with the Nazis because they had some of the same motivations, namely that the Jews should get out of Europe. And so they were made common ground, and there's a number of very shocking revelations along those lines, which nonetheless are the case. I have a whole chapter on this, and I can't begin to detail it in the limited time we have left, but you can fast forward to the contemporary times where you can see this actual indifference to the victims of the Holocaust is very grimly evident in contemporary Israel, which is rated as, of all the countries that took in refugees from Nazism and the Holocaust, has the worst record. I mean, it's really quite amazing that despite their ideology and all their ceremonies of commemoration and never again and so on and so forth, they actually treat victims of the Holocaust in a worse way than in other countries, and it's an outrage. And strikingly, some numbers of Holocaust victims are moving back to Germany because there they can get better treatment than they get in the state of Israel. It's one of those profound contradictions. So it's really not the case that they are taking adequate care. In fact, they often blocked the taking of adequate care, and I have details of that in the book. And certainly as to providing a haven, if anything of the sort is true. I mean, it's the one most dangerous place in the world for Jews to live in. And it has been, since it's constantly caught up in crisis, there can never be any peace. It's absolutely impossible for there to be peace under the auspices of the State of Israel. Therefore, it's continually putting Jewish people in harm's way, and there's no telling how far that can go.
In your analysis of Zionism, you've also drawn from Freud and more than two decades of practice as a psychoanalyst.
That's correct,
What are some of those elements that you think are pertinent and insightful from Freud?
Well, actually, I barely scratched the surface there because I didn't want to take up the reader's attention with this because I think the moral and political contradictions are the essential ones. But there is a notion, not Freud himself, but actually his daughter Anna Freud brought forward to become a sort of a staple of psychoanalytic discourse, namely identification with the aggressor. That is to say, when a person is traumatized, as you know, in an early historical period, there's a unconscious wish to undo that in order to find another victim and to identify with the person who did this to you. And I think it's impossible to avoid that conclusion when you see some of the, you know, the repetitions that go on within the state of Israel in the treatment of the Palestinians as the victims. And this is something that, of course, in Israel itself is actually pondered over, because I mean, Israel is full of people who are very troubled by the internal behavior of this situation and wonder about it and deplore it, but barely ever think of anybody in, you know, to the west of Israel, and certainly in the United States and probably in Canada too, who take this up in any seriousness. But it's very serious, and there's a great deal of quote unquote psychopathology, some of which surfaces occasionally, and I don't think we can go into it in this brief span, but it's very much worth appreciating, and I can't. I try to do some of it in the book, but as I say, it's not the main theme of the book.
Most discussion of the Israel-Palestine conflict works on the premise that the only practical resolution for the conflict is creation of two separate states, and you think quite differently on that.
Right, yes. I mean, I think this is a very important consideration. I hope people read the book for this reason, that they can follow the track that idea, but in a very broad outline. I think the two-state solution is both practically impracticable because of the effects of Zionism on the Palestinian entities, and which has chewed it up and so fragmented it that there's no real foundation for any coherent social existence as a state. But even to the extent that such could be done, and this is a conclusion to which I was drawn, which is actually quite shocking, if you take the comparisons with apartheid South Africa, which are very important to draw because they're both, you know, states which impose racism and exclusion of an ethnic people by another ethnic people, you have these comparisons are often drawn, but people don't realize is that the two-state solution that is promised is in fact simply the repetition of South African apartheid, which implies that Israel as it exists now is worse than South African apartheid, and the reason is that the object is actually to destroy Palestinian existence, to force them to leave or transfer them out or whatever they try to get rid of them is the paramount consideration, whereas under South African apartheid, of course, the point was that they had Bantustans into which the blacks were herded, and they lived a miserable, certainly inadequate life, but one that was to some degree coherent. So that's the essence of the two-state solution, is actually to reproduce that level of discrimination and apartheid. And to doing so preserves the essence of the Jewish state, and I argue in the book that the notion of a Jewish state, particularly in that region with that kind of concrete history, is ipso facto going to be destructive. It'll just reproduce itself. It cannot tolerate any kind of stable existence with its neighbors. And so the whole notion of a two-state solution is completely bankrupt, and people had better recognize that and move to what I recommend, which is namely a single state. Now, you know, we're in a single democratic state, a state that's secular in its foundations and in which all of its citizens have equivalent rights. And the Palestinians who live within Israel are demanding this. They're absolutely right to do so. I think it's going to happen, but it requires, quote, overcoming the Zionism, unquote. It requires getting beyond that idea that it makes sense to have a Jewish state. And it doesn't make sense except in the aggrandizement of one people over another, and that's not going to work. It's a bankrupt idea. Now, it's very, very hard to imagine a one state in the cauldron that now constitutes Israel and Palestine, but it's necessary to hold it out as a strategic goal and to think of ways of moving in that direction. That's the basic argument of the book.
Just to close this morning, your book has been under attack by the pro-Israel lobby who tried to prevent its distribution in North America. Does that
the United States? Actually.
In the United States, does that at all surprise you?
No, I mean it was a bit of a shock because of the way it took place, which happened rather suddenly. But no, it didn't surprise me, and in fact, when I wrote the book, I said, well, you know, in a sense, the reviews of this book will take place in the degree to which it is actually tried to be suppressed. And, you know, it's not, because we don't have a good discourse, we don't have a good debate, to say the least. We have virtually no debate. And my book, whatever else it is a call for such a debate. And it's sort of a very blunt book, and despite the subtleties of its argument, that it insists on calling things by their right name, insists on saying that Israel is racist and Zionism is racist and so on, which it is. And when you say things like that, you're going to have trouble. And I expected to have trouble, and the fact that trouble occurred just means to me that I wrote a pretty good book that was threatening to the status quo, and so they tried to eliminate it. And so at this point, the battle is momentarily over, but by no means resolved, and we just have to keep moving forward.
Well, thanks very much, Joel, and look forward to your speaking here in Vancouver.
Yes, I look forward very much to being there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been speaking with Dr. Joel Covell. He's author of the book Overcoming Zionism, and Dr. Covell will be speaking on this subject Thursday evening, September 20th, this coming Thursday, at Simon Fraser University downtown campus on Hastings Street in room 1700. The meeting's at 7 p.m., and copies of his book will be available for sale. And on Friday, at the same location, SFU downtown, same time, 7 p.m., Dr. Covell will be speaking on ecological crisis and social transformation. Dr. Covell is run as the Green Party candidate for senator in New York State. He's written a book titled Enemy of Nature, End of Capitalism or End of the World. Also among his 10 books are White Racism, A Psychohistory, and Anti-Communism and the Making of Modern America.